Well, most of you know that our governor has been doing some speaking again at 6 o'clock this afternoon. We are not sure exactly what all that entails. Sure we'll find out more. Perhaps when we go home this evening, perhaps when you get the morning news tomorrow, the rundown of it. But anyway, we just thank the Lord for what we have yet. And we're thankful for the health that he has blessed our folks with. You know that the Schechters are not here today because Mark worked on Wednesday with the gentleman, rode around all day in the vehicle that afterward tested positive, and they're waiting on Mark's results. And it's getting kind of closer to home when we think of it like that. But we do thank the Lord in the midst of all, the Lord is faithful, isn't he? He is in control of the COVID. He's in control of our country, the election, the outcome of it, what's true, what's false. And it's up to us to keep looking unto the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we just know he has never failed us. He hasn't left us here on our own to deal with all of the chaos, but we can trust him. Let's look to him in prayer right now, shall we? Father, thank you that we could have this service tonight. Thank you for songs, testimonies of your goodness, your faithfulness. Songs that say something that is meaningful to our hearts and lives. We thank you that we have your word. And I pray that you would help us to have open ears to hear your truth. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, enable me to convey what you put on my heart in a manner that your message comes through. You know what each one needs. Be glorified in it. And I'll thank you in your name. Amen. Do closed doors mean uselessness for the Lord? Suppose you want to do something for the Lord. That sounds like a real commendable thought, doesn't it? Surely the Lord would want me to do this, want me to do that. But sometimes we come up against a closed door. Are we to interpret that as uselessness for the Lord? Or has it been closed for a particular reason to show us something that maybe we had missed? Closed Doors is the title tonight, Andrew. Remember, I read this morning and I read it again in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Sometimes it seems like we've come up with the perfect idea, doesn't it? But it just doesn't work out. We need to remember the Lord's instruction to us here in Isaiah 55. Tonight I want us to look at some examples of behind the scenes regarding closed doors. First one that I want us to look at, and we're going to look at three people this evening. I like to look at people and learn some things from people. And the first one that we want to look at is the star of our message this morning, David. David, one day it came to his mind, the perfect idea. And the perfect idea was this. All these years, God has never had a permanent dwelling place among his people. Ever since we left the land of Egypt hundreds of years ago, God gave to Moses the instruction about that portable tabernacle and all the things, and for years and years and years, that's what the people had as far as a place of worship for the Lord. In David's lifetime, there still was just this temporary worship place. And one day, this great idea came to David, the king. And he thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build God a permanent place of worship. I'm sure that would please him. Well, let's see. Turn, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And it says, it came to pass when the king, that's David, sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. Perfect timing, right? All the battles were resolved. Everything is great. The king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar. Excuse me. I have a permanent house to live in. But the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. That's a part of the furnishings of that tabernacle that they carried all around the wilderness, and even now in the promised land, that's still where you would go to worship God. And the ark was kept behind that curtain. And Nathan said unto the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, and the Lord is with thee. You know what Nathan told him? That's a great idea. That is a great idea. Go for it, David. And the Lord bless you. It came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shall you build an house for me to dwell in? I have not dwelt in any house since the time I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but I have walked and lived in a tent and in a tabernacle. In the dream, we could paraphrase it, the Lord was saying, Nathan, you go back and you ask the king, have I ever complained about my dwelling place? Ever since my people left Egypt, I've traveled around from place to place. I've lived in that tent. And you ask David, did I ever complain about that? Did I ever tell him that I'd like you to come up with this idea? In all the places, verse 7, wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why don't you build me a house of cedar? Have I ever asked anybody to do that? Now therefore, verse 8, so shalt thou say to my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I was with you whithersoever you went, and have destroyed or cut off all your enemies out of your sight, and have made you a great name, just like the name of all the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. And the Lord is telling you that he will make you a house. He will establish your family, David. That's what this house is referring to. Your family is going to have the right to the throne. And when your days are fulfilled, verse 12, and you sleep with your father, I will set up your seed after you, which shall proceed out of your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, your son, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So, what was David up against here? What's our topic tonight? Open door? A closed door slammed in his face. But it seemed like such a good idea. How come the Lord isn't pleased with it? I thought for sure I could serve the Lord this way and build him a place. I thought for sure this was a task that I could do for the Lord, and he would be pleased and glorified with it. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5. And look at verses 1 through 5. We read these words. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him. Times past now from 2 Samuel 7 to 1 Kings 5. David is off the scene. Now Solomon, David's son, is the king. And it says that Hiram, king of Tyre, had heard that they had anointed him, Solomon, king, in the room of his father. For Hiram was a lover of David, close friends. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, you know how that my father could not build a house, for the name of the Lord is God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil activity or occurrence. And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house for my name. Look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, beginning at verse 17, these words are recorded after the temple was built. And these were words that Solomon spoke at the temple dedication. Let's begin at verse 17. It was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto thy name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. We stop right here. Did David have a good idea or didn't he? What's Solomon say? The Lord said, that was a good idea you had, David. Well, why wouldn't God let me do what I wanted to do? I wanted to serve the Lord. And I thought this would be a good way to serve him. Maybe you sometimes, a good idea comes to you and you think, why won't the Lord let me do this thing? How come all these closed doors? Verse 19, nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house. That was a good idea, David, but I'm not going to let you do it. But thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build a house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed the word that he spake. And I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord proclaimed, and have built a house for the name of the Lord of Israel. One last reference in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, forasmuch as it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word which he hath spoken. I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and I have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. As we look at this, it was a closed door. In David's case, why was that door closed? It was a good idea, but in David's case, it was a task which came to his mind that wasn't God's will for him to do. We didn't look at it, but God said, you can't allow it. I won't allow you to do it, but David was able to contribute greatly to all of the building materials. There are other portions of Scripture where David was able to contribute to the building. said, I can't let you do it. Why was that? Because he had been a what? He'd been a man of war. His hands were bloody. Yes, he was God's anointed king. But God said, I can't let you do it, but you can certainly contribute to it. It was a good idea you had, but the task that you wanted to do for the Lord was not God's will for you personally. But I'll let you support the one that I did choose and am going to use to do that particular job. We move on. The Apostle Paul. There's our second one tonight that we want to look at. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. As we move from David's closed door in his face, we move to Acts chapter 16, and beginning at verse 10, it tells us that when they had gone through Phrygia and in the region of Galatia, and then notice, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit would not allow them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering, being satisfied that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The Apostle Paul, as he was on his journeys, it came to his mind to go to such and such a location. We find that he wanted, in verse 6, to preach the word there in Asia Minor. What could be wrong with that? Aren't there unsaved people in Asia Minor? Weren't there people that needed the Lord and needed the gospel? You bet. But we find that the Lord said, no, I don't want you to go there, in verse 6. So they changed direction. And it says they were coming to Mysia, and they tried to go to another location, Bithynia. Still in that Asia Minor section there, around the Mediterranean Sea, on the eastern side of it. And once again, the Lord closed the door. He wanted to personally go to two separate locations to serve the Lord. But he was denied by the Lord. Doors were shut. Closed doors. No, I'm not going to let you go there. He was denied, but he was directed to the location that he had not thought of. It had never come to his mind to go to Macedonia. For you see, Macedonia is in Europe. And the Lord wanted to take the gospel. He was ready now to begin to bring the gospel into Europe. But that had not come to Paul's mind. He was wanting Asia Minor. But the Lord said, I want you to take it into Macedonia, which is the beginnings of the gospel getting to Europe. Macedonia, Philippi. And so we find in Paul's case, he had a great idea. He was sitting around saying, I don't want to serve the Lord. I don't want to serve the Lord. But with Paul, he said, well, I want to serve the Lord over here. What could be wrong with that? The Lord said, I don't want you to serve me over there. I want you to serve me over here. With David, the closed door was because a task had come to his mind that it was not God's will for him to fulfill. And the Lord said, no, I'll let somebody else do it. In Paul's case, the Lord said no, because Paul had a desire to serve the Lord in the wrong territory. Wrong place. Closed door didn't mean, I don't want you to serve me, Paul. I just don't want you to serve me here. Serve me here. I want you to serve me over there. But I never thought about that place. Well, he needed a couple of closed doors to consider the place, the territory. Maybe you're wanting to serve the Lord somehow, somewhere. And all you keep coming up with is closed doors. Maybe you need to ask the Lord to show you, am I trying to serve you in the wrong territory? Is this the wrong place? If it is, show me where you would like me to serve you. Our third one that we want to look at this evening is Moses. Moses. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. You know the story of Moses. Raised by Pharaoh's daughter because she had drawn him from the water when Moses' parents had put him in that little ark and hid him in the bulrushes, because they were trusting God to spare their son from the hands of the Pharaoh, who had said, destroy every male Jewish child. Well, he was raised in Pharaoh's court by Pharaoh's daughter. He grew up, all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of luxury. And we pick up our story at verse 11. It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian striking or smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way, and he looked that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were striving together. And he said to the one that did the wrong, why are you smiting your fellow? And he said unto him, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed that Egyptian? But Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But that Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. He ran for his life. He got right out of that territory, went way south. He went way north, not south. Egypt, Pharaoh was south. He went way north to get away from Pharaoh's presence. What's this have to do with any kind of a closed door? Acts chapter 7 really sheds the light on it. If you take your Bibles and turn there, and we pick up at verse 17. It tells us this: when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house only 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, now we know how old he was back in Exodus chapter 2. He had been there a long time. He was 40 years old. It came to his heart to visit his children, visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and he smote the Egyptian. Now get this next verse. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand was going to deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, your brethren, why do you do wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Who did? Look at verse 25. Who made Moses a ruler and a judge over them? Who? God did. And when he was 40 years old, Moses had an idea, and evidently God had already confirmed to Moses, you are going to lead my people to freedom. He supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. We find here, he that did his neighbor wrong, verse 37 or 27, thrust him away, saying, Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Moses didn't answer that right then. He said to Moses, Are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the hand of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, Now what has taken place? 40 more years. He's an 80-year-old man now. There appeared to him in the wilderness of Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight as he drew near to behold it. The voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and dared not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you into Egypt. With Moses, the closed door in his face, when he was 40 years old, was a case of wrong timing. He supposed that his brothers would have understood, verse 25, how God was going to use him to deliver them. Yes, that's what God was going to do, but Moses, it's you got to work on my time schedule, not yours. Moses just happened to be 40 years too soon. Not only did he have to learn to wait until God had everything in place to do it God's way. When it was God's timing, God showed him the correct technique. What was that? Was Moses going and slaying the Egyptians left and right and burying them in the sand? That wasn't God's way to deliver their people. We never see Moses killing another person. That was Moses' idea. He assumed that his brethren would realize, well, God's chosen me. Come on, let's get out of here. The timing was wrong. And the technique was wrong. Closed doors, they don't necessarily mean uselessness for the Lord. Maybe the Lord has closed the door because we're attempting a task for him that he never intended us to do. And if so, let's find out how we can serve the Lord. Closed doors don't mean that God doesn't want us to serve. Maybe God doesn't want us to serve in the territory or the location. I think I could really do good for the Lord over here. Is that what the Lord said? Twice God said, Paul, I don't want you there. I want you over here. Closed doors. But God, you told me that you wanted me to lead my people out of Egypt. Yes. But I didn't tell you now is the time. And I didn't tell you this is how I intend to use you. May the Lord instruct us and encourage us to be sensitive to the Lord's leading in our desire to serve him. He's looking for those that are willing to serve him. But let's go through the open doors. And when he closes the door in our face, let's not just assume, well, I guess God doesn't want to use me. No, why did you close that door, Lord? What am I missing here? How would you want me to serve you? Let's stand in prayer, shall we? Father, I pray that you would take the incidents of these three familiar characters and help us to learn truth from you. I pray that we might see their mistakes and see the victories. May you lead us to usefulness. May you lead us to accomplishment for your glory and honor. Pray that you would take us safely to our homes. Use us this week as you intend to use us. In your name we pray. Amen.